Welcome to church today, and warm welcome to those of us who are watching from our centers. A warm welcome to you. Hello, the camera just turned on. So a big shout out to everyone there who are watching online too. I know some of you might be watching from home due to whatever reason. Thanks for joining us on home. But I also want to encourage you, those of us who are watching from home, maybe you have not decided to come and join us in our physical service. I want to encourage you to be here physically, because I really believe that by being here physically, it will help you and your spiritual life. And there are things that you can do physically that you can't do digitally. So I hope to see you soon in our services, in Access, or in any of our centers all around Singapore. So a warm welcome to you. And we want to, last week, Pastor Jeff talks about, spent 2 weeks preaching to us about our focus for the year. Not done yet. God is not done with us. It's such an encouraging message and sermon to us. And I hope you had a great time discussing and sharing in your life groups. And I also want to take time to honor and to thank Pastor Jeff for spending the last 2 weeks, you know, preaching his heart out. And last weekend, right, he did 5 services, you know, back to back. You know, it was so tiring, but it was worth it because the Word of God was preached and many of us was being touched. So everywhere, wherever you are, you know, in our centers or here in Texas, can we give Pastor Jeff a big hand? Come on, help me to thank him. Appreciate him. Thank you, Pastor Jeff. I know you're watching in our centers. In these 2 weeks, we are doing something a bit different, okay? We are splitting the whole church into the adult Sunday service into 2 broad categories of people, in 2 groups. The first group, the first service here at 9:30 a.m., it is the family, and those who are in the later on 11:15 a.m. will be the singles. And I know that if some of us in the church, maybe it's not so clearly defined. You know, you're like, should I be in this service? Should I be in that service? But no matter what service you are in, and no matter what sermon is being preached, I believe that there will be lessons that you can learn from the Bible, and all of us, we can all learn together, okay? So we are doing this. The reason why we're doing this is so that we want to bring a specific word of application to every one of us in all our various life stations. So thank God for the 4 different pastors of this Sunday service, adult service. They are all taking 1 sermon each. So we have 4 different pastors delivering 4 different messages over these 2 weekends. So it'll be a really great time of learning. This series is called In Every Season. In every season, we want to follow God. In every season, we want to serve Him. We want to love Him. And in every season, there are lessons that God has for us to learn. There are lessons that we can learn more about Jesus and grow in Him. This week, we are talking about a hunger for purpose. And instead of like talking about a broad topic about like, you know, a general purpose in life and what does God wants for us, you know, I want to zoom it in into a specific area that is very relevant to this people group here, this live station in this service right now, which is this specific area of parenting. And some of us here, maybe you're not parents yet. And I hope that this sermon will be helpful to shape your future understanding, your future vision of what parenting is, and to help you to better prepare yourself to be the kind of parent that God wants you to be. And I hope that for some of us as well, maybe you are not going to have kids yet, in your life. You know, it might be helpful for you also, because you might be helping other parents. You're part of a community in the church where there are parents around. You play a role as well. Every one of us, we play a role to raise the next generation up. And some of us even, you know, your kids have grown up and then you are going to be a grandparent soon. I believe that all these principles here will be powerful principles for you to capture, to be an even better grandparent in discipling your children's children in God's ways. So before I begin, I just want to really thank the parents around me, the parents who have shaped me and helped me in my parenting journey. So those of them, some of them are in the various centers. The names here, Atuan, Jacqueline, Pastor Daniel, thank you for imparting your lives and your parenting journey and the many, many lessons that you shared with me. Now, I am in no position here to teach us about parenting, because I think many of you here, your children might be even older, you know, you have been through much more. But I am here to point us to the Word of God, to learn together and see how the gospel impacts our parenting. And also, I want to share with you the journey that God has brought me in through. And hopefully through that, there will be certain principles and certain things that God can speak to you in today's message. So are you ready? All right, shall we all pray together? Let's bow our heads and pray together. God, let this be not just another time of hearing another parenting sermon that we listen to. Help us to have a renewed understanding about our very purpose, about the very role that you call us to play as parents in our children's life. We want to become the kind of parent that you are calling us to be, that you are shaping us to be from the Word of God, from the Gospel. Speak to us and work in us. In Jesus' name, we pray. And everybody say, amen. When we talk about parenting, and some of us might think, and it's very common often that we come to either a parenting course or a sermon, you know, that we think very practically. We say, hey, give me 3 ways which I can communicate better with my teenage daughter and son. And don't you want that, right? You know, or give me 5 tips on how to help my toddler through the entire anger tantrums time, you know. We want some practical solution to our practical parenting challenges. Nothing wrong with all this. But do you know that the Bible gives us something far better? In fact, tremendously better. The Bible radically changes the way we think. So when the way that we think about ourselves change, when the way we think about our children change, the way we think about the process of parenting change, we will begin to approach and do parenting differently. The problem sometimes is that we understand the gospel as just like the end point or the beginning of our journey in God, where we are saved, Jesus saved us, and then we do not see the gospel as integrative, as part of every day of our lives, and it shapes the way that we vastly see the world around us. We see people, we see relationships, and we see our family. The gospel is supposed to radically change all aspects of life, including parenting. Because parenting is such a significant thing that we do in life. No one else can be the mom, can be the dad to your child. This is something that no one else can do to your child besides you. And you are the tool in God's hands for Him to do the work that God wants to do in your child's life through you, through your life. So today, I hope to lay for us a certain foundation, a certain way of thinking about parenting. It won't be just the typical sermon of like an exposition of 3 points, or there won't be really a lot of very practical things that I can tell you that, you know, I can take this and straight away do them. And after this sermon, you really need to come together with your life groups or come together with your spouses and think and pray and see how this change and shape the way I see parenting. In fact, today is just only 1 key point. And in fact, I can summarize it to even 1 key word. Let me draw upon an experience I have to illustrate this whole thing. It was a long day out on a Sunday evening. You know, we went to the church in the west, and we went to our parents' place in the east. And the 2 kids had a great time playing with their aunt and uncle, and at the playground. They ate their favorite snacks, you know, they ate their favorite sweets, and they had their favorite cartoon. They were tired, and I was tired because it's a long day ever since, like it's 8 a.m. in the morning. We got into the car on our long journey from the east to the west. In the car, Elliot was holding on to his Lego helicopter. So he decides to do an invasion of his sister's space, or I call it territory. And he decided to do a landing on this car seat that the younger sister was on. And he landed on it. And Kristen, being a 4-year-old daughter, has not taken her much-needed afternoon nap. And if you know children at the age, if they don't take an afternoon nap, what will happen? They turn into monsters, you know? And she take great offense at this little Lego helicopter. She flicked it away. The Lego helicopter broke apart, and Elliot went nuts. And he was like, why did you do that? And she keeps disturbing her, and she keeps like trying to throw small punches at him, pop, 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 you know? And She and this guy, who is double his size and all, you know, and was protecting himself and screaming at her, and he knows that if one punch, you know, she will KO. So he refused to do that. And he was just defending and screaming at her and screaming. And can you imagine this whole thing happening in the small compound of the car? You know, and mommy was so kind and telling her, stop, please don't do that. We are all very tired. She's tired, you're tired. They're just repeating and repeating. And Papa was just in front of the car, driving peacefully. And I was wondering to myself, what should I do? And I know God spoke a word and there was peace. The sea was calm. And I knew I had the authority of Jesus in me. So I turned back and I said, children, stop. Stop. So the more I say it, the more the louder they get, and my stop gets louder and louder and louder. And I can tell you, what happens after that was just ugly. I was screaming my top of my voice at them to a point that I nearly lost my voice, and then they finally stopped because they knew that I was really angry, not just upset. I was furious. And I was even threatening them that I would stop by at the site, you know, and just yank them out and then give them a good one. When we reached home, I was so upset that I couldn't put my son to bed. I was in my room. I felt defeated. I don't think that I've won. I don't think that I did the right thing. Something is missing. And yes, I could be more patient. I could say the right words. I could say kinder words. Or maybe there are certain methods that I've learned in my parenting course that, you know, that in the church that I need to do. But something else is missing. What is missing? Grace and gospel. And why do I say that? The very grace of God, the very gospel is missing. There is something missing in this in my parenting that is more than just good skills and good principles that I know. I was unable to change my child. I am unable to change myself. I need grace. And the children need that very same grace from us so that they can see the gospel clearer and clearer in their lives and through our lives. And one of the key purposes of parenting is this: to reveal God's grace to our children, which points them to the gospel. To reveal God's grace to our children, to point them to the gospel. Yes, a part of parenting is about training them up in God's ways, teaching them the word of God, helping them to learn God's ways, to help them discover their very purposes in God and releasing them to serve God's mission for the world. But the starting point of knowing God is the gospel. The very good news of God to save mankind through Jesus, the gospel. This is the starting point of our children wanting to move in God's ways. And God placed us as parents in our children's life as His tools to reveal His grace into their lives so that we can point them towards Jesus. And this is not just about teaching them and telling them Bible stories. All of us, many of us do that. It's not just about bringing them to church. I thank you for doing that, you know, attending class, Hope Kids and classes. It's not just even about saying grace with our child and praying every night. But how can we as parents really help them understand grace? That it was because of grace that made us turn our back from sin towards Christ, towards God. How can we help them appreciate God's grace in their life? Let me unpack this over the next 2 points. What does it mean to reveal God's grace in our parenting? Number one, you need to see the true condition and struggle of our child. You need to see the true condition and struggle of our child. I hope you are taking notes, because many of these things, as I say, you need to go back home and take time to think through and to process some of these things. In our Asian society, we are very used to setting rules. I'm not sure about your family, but in the family that I grew up in, you know, I grew up with various house rules. You know, the moment I reach home, I got to wash my hands, I got to wash my feet, I got to change out all my school uniform. Running around at home with my school uniform on is a sin in the house that I'm in. You know, this was before COVID, you know. So my parents was doing these things to me when I was young. You got to finish your homework before you touch your games. Your mobile phone, your laptop, you know, you said that before, right? It's a rule. No homework done, no games to play. No using of phones on the dinner table. You know, we often use rules to control and to manage, and we even hope that these rules that we implement will be able to change and shape our children. And how many times have we tried to set the rules clearly, to repeat it multiple times to them, to even tack a reward and punishment to them. But at the end of the day, what happens? Rules are, come on, broken. And that's why they say, so rules are meant to be broken. And that's way, you know, that's how it came about. And we get frustrated. We get discouraged because we hope for the rules to be able to do its work, which only grace can do inside the human heart, inside man. We think that by being the judge, by writing the laws clearly, by enforcing it, by rewarding and punishing them, we will be able to get them to conform to the ways that we want them to be and become. Does it mean that rules have no place in our family? Does rules and laws that we set have a place? Absolutely. Absolutely. Because the Bible tells us that God's law reveals sin. God uses the law to reveal what is inside of us. God uses the law to reveal what is right and wrong to us. And Romans chapter 7, verse 7, it says, what shall we say then? Is the law sinful? Certainly not. Nevertheless, I would not have known what sin was had it not been for the law. For I would not have known what coveting really was if the law had not said, you shall not covet. Rules can tell us and tell our children what is right and what is wrong. If there are no rules, our children, at their very young age, without an ability to understand morality, they will not know what is right and wrong. Rules are needful. Rules are needed in our household, because if not, the house will be chaotic. But it doesn't have the power to make our children to become and have the character of God in their lives. It is not able to. Rules can inform, but only grace can transform. Rules can inform, but only grace can transform. If all our children needed was just strong rules, Jesus wouldn't need to come. If all our children needed was just strong rules, strong enforcement, strong judgment, the cross would not be necessary. You see, rules, though helpful and needed, they are incapable of transforming the human heart. When you look at the Old Testament, you will see that God's law is holy, God's law is perfect. God gave his laws to the people out of his love. But as much as that went, that was beautiful, that was good, it was unable to transform the people. The rules that we set are insufficient. You might be able to make their behavior to conform, but if you really want to transform their hearts, if you really want to transform their being, we need a greater work being done within them. We need to see the true condition and struggle of our children. We need to see the true condition and struggle of our children. Romans chapter 3, verse 9 to 12 says that. Paul makes his argument here that, for we have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under the power of sin. It is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Paul makes the charge, and in this argument in the book of Romans about the position of the Jews, and in fact, it's a position that all of us as human beings face, that we are all under the power of sin. So to us as a parent, I'm sure that through your observation of your children, our child's, you know, growing up, it will be no surprise to you that this is the very condition that everyone is inclined to. That it is no surprise. Have you ever wondered that this cute little baby that you have, that one day, without attending any single class on Rebellion 101, they learn to say nasty things towards you and to people around. They learn to be selfish. They learn to say hate speech, to practice cancel culture. I don't like you. I don't love you. I hate you, you know. Where on earth did they learn that, you know? We got to understand their real struggle. To reveal grace to them is to understand their real struggle. Every one of us is born into a world that is fallen and sinful, and the state of every human being is an inclination to sin. Because we sin, we hate rules. Because we sin, we go against authority. We want to have our own ways. We are self-focused, self-absorbed, prone to be worldly. All of us are sinful. And sometimes we think that what our children is doing, or maybe they have something against us, like you are trying to ruin my day, you are trying to go against me. And we take it very personally when they go against us and when they sin. But we forget that this is what the Bible describes their condition and who they are, that we are all sinful. And I honestly don't think that our children, you know, they wake up one day and then they scheme and say that, I am going to give my papa a hard time in the car. When my sister is upset, I'm going to take my Lego helicopter and disturb her, you know, until she go nuts and my papa go nuts. I don't think that's not what they think. I don't think that your teenage daughter or son, you know, come back home and she have a plan, all right? If mommy is going to tell me to do homework more than 3 times, I am going to scream at her and slam my door at her. You know, I don't think that's what they have in mind. And when we take it personally, we just merely react. We say some bad things, we throw some punishment, and we settle for quick situational solutions. And we walk away, leaving the child utterly unchanged. Nothing's the same. See their struggle as a fellow sinner like yourself. Show them the grace that they need. Because transformation takes time. You can't instruct them and teach them over a single time, 3 times, 4 times, and then you expect them to get it and to understand it and to change. We need time to teach and instruct them in God's ways, and they need time to respond, to understand, to know the love and the grace that we are showing. And to reveal God's grace is the second thing that we can do, to be Christ's ambassador to our children. To be Christ's ambassador to our children. When we know that the greatest issue that our children is facing is sin, then the very solution that we can give is beyond ourselves. It's out of ourselves. In fact, it is not from ourselves. We need to point them towards the one true Savior that can ultimately change them and save them. So every time that your eyes and your ears encounter their sin and their weaknesses and their failure as children, it is not a hassle. It is not trouble coming to you. It is not causing more trouble in our lives. God is revealing the true condition of our child to us so that we, as His tools, we can become His tools to do the transformative work in our child's life. We are caught into action as parents to our child who desperately needs parenting. We are Jesus' ambassador. Ambassador. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. It says, we are therefore Christ's ambassador. As though God was making His appeal through us. Paul was talking about the ministry of reconciliation here. That God is reconciling the world, bringing the whole world through Jesus to Him. And Paul is saying that through every one of us who have received this message of reconciliation, to be His ambassador, to be His representatives to the people, to the lost, to people who do not know Jesus yet. And similarly, in our parenting, we are His ambassador to our children. We represent God to our children. Parents, you are the look of God's face to your children. You are the tone of His voice. You are the touch of His hands. God, who is invisible, make Himself visible by sending parents of grace to give grace to children when they can't help themselves. Just like how Jesus came into the world and helped us in our time of need, we are doing the very same thing to them, to point them to Jesus. So every time, parents, every time, when you have to deal with rebellion, when you have to deal with disobedience, it is not a hassle. It is not tough and trouble. And instead of getting upset, instead of getting angry, you look at it and you see it as opportunity of grace. Opportunity to reveal God's grace to your children. You see it as a ministry to them. By being His ambassadors, it doesn't mean that we are perfect representatives. And you know, it is also through our struggles and through our weaknesses that we show grace as well. I mean, I'm sure many a times I'll be the first to raise my hand. We lost our anger before. We say hurtful words to them. We say words that once it comes out, we regret it badly. We are unkind to our children. It is about our issue. You are causing trouble to me. That's why I get angry. And what do we do? What can we do? As His ambassadors, we can learn to repent. Because when we learn to repent, when we learn to humble ourselves, come to God and say, God, help me, I need to change, and even ask our children for forgiveness, for reconciliation. And I've done that so many times because through that, I realize that when I did something wrong, when I reflect, when God spoke to me, when I go to my children, and I know that they are hurt, they are scared, they are just like, you know, just feel very bad about it. And I go to them, and it just happened last night, and I just hug him and say, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have scolded you like that. Maybe there's a better way. Sometimes I don't even know whether they're understanding me. But I know that what they're knowing and what they're seeing is that they're seeing the grace of God working in me. And I don't know about you, I don't know about you, but when I was writing about this whole thing, and I was laughing to myself after doing this whole sermon, you know. Because in reality, many of the things that I said is so hard. And you do hear me sometimes share stories of my parenting and of like how I can't do it. And this is an area that I tell you that I struggle with. And I'm sure many of us parents, you can identify with many of this. And many of these things that I wrote, and it comes out of what God spoke to me and my experience. And I want to end off with this story and with this point and to summarize and conclude. But as I was thinking how to do this, and I was praying through, God just spoke to me and said that have a heart-to-heart talk with our fellow parents. So I just want to sit down here and share a story as a fellow parent to every one of us of how there was this season last year in my parenting journey. And I was having a hard time managing my son's emotions. I mean, you know, the whole toxic concoction of working from home, my son transiting to primary one, having to get him to do homework that they're foreign, getting him to do online learning as a 7-year-old kid. Man, that sucks. and me having to work from home, and then there's all these things in ministry and in church to transit to, and it was just so challenging last year. And I remember I have to deal with his whole, he was emotionally ultra sensitive to many things that's happening. So like at home, if just one of his toys get, you know, he built those towers that, wow, so beautiful. And so he keep it there, say, don't touch my tower. He goes and sleep. Once he comes back, the cockroach touch the tower, the tower collapse, right? He gets so upset. He spent the whole morning screaming and crying. And like, just when he goes into an anger tantrum meltdown, it is just out of the world. In my 7 years of seeing him grow up, it is like, that's the worst. And he's growing up as a primary one kid, he eats a lot, he's just a big size 30 kg boy stomping on me, boom, 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 and screaming and throwing things and hitting himself, jumping on my sofa until the sofa sat. And I'm like, I do not know how to deal with this anymore. And I can tell you that, as funny as it sounds now, but when I had to deal with this, there are many a times that it just got so ugly. I have to confess that my initial response was bad. I lost my anger. I tried different ways, physically, emotionally, said things which are unkind, unchristian. And it was so hard for me. And I was talking to like a few mentors around, and talking to Pastor Jeff about it, talking to Pastor Daniel about it, talking to Tuan and Jack about it, and then we were discussing, and they were giving me very helpful things, saying that you got to learn to be patient, depend on the Holy Spirit. It is all part of growing up. This too will pass. I get that. But every time when the rubber meets the road, when I see that, wow, I can't help it. It takes over me. And remember, the breakthrough came when I was praying and I was discussing with my wife about it. And I was saying, God, help me. I really can't do this anymore. I do not know how to respond in a Christian way. I can't do it. It's either I am not sure how to do it. And I remember God clearly speaking to me that I need grace. Be my ambassador to my children. I remember God speaking clearly to me on that. I need grace and they need grace. And there was this incident, I remember how things changed. That, again, it's the same thing that happened at home. My son goes into a meltdown because the sister has done something to him, and the sister is not getting enough sleep, and I do not know why when they don't get enough sleep, it happens, you know. You try to force them to sleep, it doesn't on a Sunday afternoon, you know. And it's just, they're just fighting, and it escalates and come to a point that mommy can't take it. So when mommy can't take it, when papa has to come in, it's bad. So I remember before I can react, God spoke to me and said, be my ambassador. I went to them, firmly pulled them, sit them down beside me, and I say, stop, all right? And they were obviously like, you know, in ruin, like crying, and just like, crying and screaming and pointing at one another. I say, stop. I put them to my side, put them on my lap, and I say, I understand. I know. It's not easy. It's like I'm telling myself, you know. And I'm so, okay. All right. And they were just crying. The mucus were all over my lap. And their tears were all over my lap. And after a while, you know, I tried to debrief them. I tried to get them to reconcile, hug, hug, shake hands. They said, no, sinners, you know. And this whole thing didn't, the breakthrough wasn't for them. The breakthrough was for me. Because I got a glimpse of what it means to reveal grace to them, to know their condition, to be their parent in their time of need. You know, parents, in God's divine purposes, God has placed your child in your family, so that you, whether you are a single parent or you are two parent, you are His tools of His transformation work in their lives. And God is calling you to reveal grace to them, His grace to them, so that you can point them to the ultimate Savior, the ultimate grace of God in their lives. We got to see their real condition, their real struggle. Because when you see that, you are able to see how desperate they are, that they need you as parents to come alongside them and help them, to depend on the Holy Spirit, to stop saying, I can't, but to say, God, help me, by your grace, I can. You are His ambassadors to reveal grace and to point to them who Jesus is in their life. So parents, can I invite you to respond to God together? Some of us need to repent. Some of us need help. Some of us need grace. Today, He wants to give that to us. Can I invite you to stand on your feet? Let's all bow our heads, close our eyes. Let's all pray together. Shukiri arabarabara. Shukori arabari arabarabara. Shukori arabara. Let's all recommit ourselves. You might want to lift your hands up to the heavens and say, God, I come before you today. And if you're a parent, you're standing beside your husband or your wife, just hold your hands and just recommit ourselves to God once again, that we want to be parents who reveal grace and lead our children to the gospel. There might be other purposes in our lives, in the world around us, that seeks to redefine our goals and our purposes as parents. But today, we are reminded that the most important one, it is to lead our children to Jesus. Today, we want to re-surrender to you, O God. We need your help. We need your grace. We are reminded that the key purposes in our life is to reveal grace to our children, to be your ambassador for our children. There are times that we fail. There are times that we can't, that we struggle. God, help us. Remind us to come back to this as the main priority. Help us encounter every time that we encounter our children's struggle. These are opportunities for ministry. These are opportunities for grace and to point them towards you, O God. Teach us your ways. Help us understand your love. And help us understand your grace in our life, that we can parent our child that you have given to us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for this privilege of parenting. Thank you for placing us as parents over our child's life. For those of us who are not parents and not yet parents, I pray that for you, that Lord, I pray for my friends that they will find these valuable lessons to be helpful for their future, to be helpful for others, and help us, Lord, as a whole church, to raise the next generation to love you and to serve you. That the parents are not alone. That together as a community, we are doing this together. We believe, oh God, that through all the parents here and the whole community together, oh God, the next generation will be stronger and stronger in you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Can just invite every one of us to look up here. There's this last group of you I wrote down here that I want to minister and I want to speak to. There are some of you here as parents. You are going through a very challenging time in your parenting journey. It has been tough. In fact, as you hear this, you are saying, God, I need your grace, I need your help. Maybe your teenage daughter or teenage son have stopped attending church, and you're unsure how to wrestle with the whole disappointment and the guilt and the whole self-blame that you might be feeling all within you. Maybe your toddler is going through some developmental change and you are struggling how to manage the whole transition and the whole anger tantrums, and it's driving you crazy. Maybe some of you're experiencing mom's guilt, dad's guilt. You keep thinking that you're not spending enough time with your children. You keep thinking that no matter how much you do, it is not enough. And you feel that the things that you say that is wrong, the wrong things that you do, is going to severe and affect this relationship with your child. And it's so strained, and you feel that I do not know what to do anymore. Today, God wants to speak to you. God wants to encourage you that God looks at you as parents with grace and mercy. He doesn't condemn you in your failure, in your sin, in your weakness. He is not disgusted with the wrong things that you do that comes up from you, that's happening at home. He is not angry at you. He comes to you today and say, my child, He says to you, our Heavenly Father is saying to us, my child, I am not upset at you, and my grace is sufficient for you. I want to give you my grace, my ways. Won't you come to me in repentance? Won't you come to me and follow my ways? I know things are a little bit crazy. I know things are a little bit hard. But I am not quitting on you. I am not giving up on you. So you don't say that you can't, and you don't say that you give up. Come to me. Move forward by my grace. And as we close our eyes and bow our heads, if this is you, and you know that you need God's grace in your life, you know that you need that grace, you need that help, you know that it is very tough for you right now, I want you to just lift your hands up wherever you are, whether you are centers or in this place here, just put your hands up to God right now. Just put your hands up to God right now. Just pray to Him together. Just put your hands up. Oh God, we need your help. Oh God, we need your grace. We know, oh God, that you don't give out on us. We know, oh God, that your grace is sufficient for us, oh God. You know the situation in every single of their homes. You know this relationship that's happening. You know the pain that they're going through, the challenges that they're facing. God, I pray that you go to them and you restore them, you help them, you help them know that, God, they are following in you, they are trusting you. And as they follow you, you help them to grow. You help them to mature. You help them to become the kind of parent that you want them to be, oh God. And help them to parent through our very weakness, to parent through our very pains, and to rely on you more. The very same grace that we are receiving from you, help us, God, to dispense it to our children. Help us, God, to point them to you. We need you, we need you, we need you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. There's the last group of you. You have not put your faith in Jesus yet. You know, God is your Heavenly Father, and He wants you to know Him. The only way that our sins can be forgiven, our sins can be paid for, is through Jesus. And what Jesus did for us is to bring us into a relationship with God once again. Our relationship with God can be restored because of what Jesus has done. So today, whether you're a parent or not, if you need to know Jesus, if you know, say, I need the help of God, I need Jesus, I need to come to Him today, I want to invite you to pray this prayer with me. And as you pray this prayer together, and after you've done so, I want to encourage you to let someone who brought you here or someone online, let them know, and they will journey with you in the journey of knowing Jesus together. So wherever you are, let's bow our heads, let's close our eyes, whether you're on centers or here. Can you just repeat after me and just pray this together with our friends? Say together with me, dear Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner.
I confess that I'm a sinner.
And I want to thank you.
And I want to thank you
for dying on the cross.
For dying on the cross.
For my sins.
For my sins.
Right now.
Right now.
I invite you.
I invite you
to come into my life.
To come into my life.
Be my Lord.
Be my Lord.
Be my Savior.
Be my Savior.
Help me to become.
Help me to become
the kind of person.
The kind of person
I was created to be.
I was created to be.
And I pray all this.
I pray all this
in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And everybody say, come on,
Amen.
Help me. Let's give the Lord a big hand. Come on, let's thank
Amen.
Him.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.